and Sirius XM Radio.
More winning is ready for you in September at Remington Park. Racing begins at 6:30 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday. Make your plans now for Oklahoma Derby Day. Sunday, September 29th, features the Oklahoma Derby, the Hat and Tie Style Contest for big cash prizes, and the Derby Day Wine Tasting Festival. Oklahoma Derby Day begins at 3 p.m. on September 29th. Visit RemingtonPark.com for group rates, suite rentals, and more. Get more winning excitement in the Remington Park Casino, where the jackpot action never ends. Parking and admission are free at Remington Park.
We're racing two-year-olds in California and Kentucky. Please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Betting on. How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hoofs, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action in thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Whether you're new to the racing game or just looking to enhance your operation, Hermitage Farm and Goshen can help you. We are conveniently located between Churchill Downs and Keeneland Racecourse and near world-renowned equine hospitals. With spacious paddocks, expert staff, and qualified veterinarians, we offer full-service boarding, breeding, and sales preparation, as well as post-operative care and layup services. Visit us in person or online at hermitagefarm.com.
Just minutes from downtown Saratoga Springs, you'll find GMP Farm, a revolutionary state-of-the-art equine therapy and rehabilitation facility offering the most advanced equipment and knowledgeable staff to care for your equine athlete. From oxygen therapy and laser treatments to thermal imaging, dry salt room, and cryotherapy treatment, all alongside a 7/8 mile Tapeta training track, GMP Farm is revolutionizing equine care. To see a full list of services and book your horse's rejuvenation session, visit gmpfarm.net today.
Fans, our live meet here at Santa Anita Park will return on Friday, September 27th, and the first ever California Crown Day at Santa Anita will be held on Saturday, September 28th. It is a day that will include the $1 million California Crown Stakes, along with two Grade 2 stakes worth $750,000 each. It will also include premium compound experiences with incredible food and beverage options, along with world-class live musical performances, interactive experiences, and cutting-edge technology. Griffin, Little Yachty, and Shaboozy are just some of the live acts that will be performing. You can get tickets at californiacrown.com. For additional information regarding our autumn meet, go to santanita.com. California Crown Day, Saturday, September 28th, will be an unforgettable day of world-class racing and world-class entertainment that you will not want to miss here at the great race place, Santa Anita Park.
Sirius XM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, and about 15 almost into the second half. Christophe Clément is going to join us, and Chris is just out of control right now. Christophe, good morning.
I'm not out of control. I'm in complete control.
Well, you're in control, but the horses are out of control.
No, they've been running well. So I'm a lucky man. We've been patient all year long. We've got a nice group of horses, good owners, fast horses, and they make me look good, which is wonderful.
Well, and let's start. Obviously, we'll start at Presque Isle on Friday, and then we'll work our way back. And this really came at a good time, Chris, for Roses for Deborah.
No, absolutely. But she's a top-class mare. I've always thought she was a top-class mare. You know, she's been running against the best. And a little bit unlucky in the last start in Saratoga, where she had to compete on soft turf. But she loved the surface. She had a great ride from my man. And I thought she was very impressive, to tell you the truth.
There's no doubt. And obviously the synthetic with her, it is, you know, it's obviously something that she really enjoys. That's her. I thought she was 4 for 4, but actually she had 3 wins in a second. So now she's 4 of 5 at Presque on that surface.
Yes, no, it's a pity. It's the end of the, you know, they don't have many more stakes, unfortunately. I believe the plan is for her to go to the November sale and to become a broodmare next year. Unfortunately, but I mean, she's really top class. She's a beautiful looking filly, and I just wish them the best of luck in breeding her, and hopefully she can produce something as good as her.
Well, you know, she came to you mid-career, basically, right? You had her at 4 and 5?
Correct.
Well, she was a modest purchase, and she's been just spectacular. That's her 9th win in 15 starts. Is there anything? Are you going to do anything with her before the sale, or is that her last start for you?
Yeah, no. I think we need to have a good look at 2 races. One is a great 2. I think it's on October 12 or 13 at Keeneland. It might be called the Franklin, I think.
Yeah.
So that's
okay.
One choice. And the second choice, which is very ambitious, again, there have been the Breeders' Cup sprint in which we were last year. I didn't think she traveled well last year when we sent her from New York to California, and she went below form in that race. But, you know, we'll offer the 2 choices to the owners, and we'll go from there.
Very nice. Well, Roses for Deborah, and a trip to Erie comes away with the Grade 2 Masters. Either way, she continues to enhance her value. She had won the Giants Causeway at Keeneland back in April. So she's got graded stake wins on 2 out of 3 surfaces. She's out of a Bernardini mare, and by Liam's map, yeah, she'll be well received. Every confidence. Well, we'll watch for the decision. Earlier in the week, Chris, you sent the Brazilian to Delaware, and you win the Obeya with Evidencius.
And absolutely. She's a filly, you know, like all these South American horses, took her a while to adapt. She's been training very well this summer, and my goal was to try to put in the stakes on the turf coming off the grass, but that did not happen, so we went in the Obeya, and she ran a very gutsy race. Very good ride, by the way, from Remy Rodriguez, and I was delighted. She's a stakes filly in America. She's very well bred. The second dam was a very good filly called Fiji, who belonged to the owner's brother, which was Fat Salmon. And she would be also a lovely, at some stage, a lovely lovely mare for his board member.
What else is there for her?
You've got a race in New York, the Manor Night, the ladies, whatever it's called now. I'm not sure yet. She just came out of the race. So, you know, I'll take my time and we'll find another stakes for her going long on that.
Nice. Well, and it only took her what? That was her third, fourth? Let me see. No,
she ran quite a few times. She ran quite a few times.
No, but, okay, yeah. And I'm just, but I just, she had, She had won. I'm looking at trying to make out that Brazilian form. It's She had won four times before she came to North America. Her first win in US. Very nice. Evidencius, a Drosselmeyer out of a King Mambo mare. So hardy stock.
Very much so.
Right. We'll keep working backwards. You had Les Reyes win the Winter Memories. Loon Cry, the Sensible Lady. I put up that stat, Christoph. 13 stake wins with 12 different horses in less than 2 months.
I like it. That's what we can carry on. But they've been running well, and I'm very, very lucky. Owners supporting us. You know, my son helping me with Christophe Loyal, Devon. So I've got a very good team helping me. So I'm a lucky man.
Yeah. Tell us, talk about some of the other wins that I did not catch up with you after Virginia, for instance, and between Deterministic and Style Points, it was a great weekend, closing weekend at Colonial.
Yeah, they won the Virginia Derby and the Oaks. It was a great day. Deterministic, you know him, he's a good horse. He won the Gotham early on this year. We tried him after that, disappointingly in the wood and the Peter Pan. But I liked every single race that he had on turf ever since. And we're training him now for that race called the Jockey Club Derby to be run the first Saturday in October at Aqueduct.
Very nice. And what about the filly, Style Points?
She's also a good filly. Her form is good. She finished second in two great trees over the winter at Gulfstream and Tampa. She won well, and she could be aimed to either the Sun's Point or the Valley View at Keeneland. We'll have to see how she trains, and we'll decide on one of the two spots.
Well, and she's been very good, and this is one of those Oscar performances. It's been one of the best, really one of the best stories. We talked to Heedley Bell, and they has really made a splash.
Great story. It was a top-class tough horse. Remember, Brian Lynch trained him.
Yep.
Well done. Well done to Heedley Bell, because not many people will give a chance to a tough stallion. And he actually became a dual stallion. He produced good horses on dirt and on turf. And he's a very nice sire. He was reasonably priced. And I advised at least five or six different owners to breed to him in the spring, because I thought he was good value. But well done to Heedley to give him a chance,
We talk about Roses for Deborah and the timeliness of getting back to Presque Isle to win the Masters. You also had nice timing, Big Invasion with a win before you got out of Saratoga in the Harvey Pack.
No, very much so. He's been very unlucky this year. Either he had to compete on softer turf, which he hates, at Churchill in June, or he had no racing luck whatsoever. Dylan gave him a brilliant ride. He waited, produced a great finish. He won that race. And we probably will ship him to that new race in California this coming Saturday. They raised the purse to $750, which is a very nice purse. And that's the plan at the moment.
Very nice. Let's ask about a few others. And if we go back to...
Where the filly called Leve is one of the stakes.
Yeah.
Called the Winter Memories at Aqueduct.
Yeah.
And... there I will give credit to my brother, who really liked her when she won the stakes in Paris. And we bought her privately. And she trained well. She was supposed to run in the Lake Placid, but she got sick a little bit on us. So we had to pass on the race. But she came out of the last race in good order. She will also be trained for that race called the Valley View, the Great Tree, third week in October at Keeneland. She's nice.
Absolutely.
She's a really nice filly.
Les Reyes, the French bred, and... Here's a horse, actually, that won that sounds French but isn't. Avenue Niel, that won at Kentucky Downs.
Now she's actually a French filly. She's French. She was bred by Edouard de Rothschild, who's one of the leading owner breeders in France.
Sure.
And we bought her very reasonably. I think it was, she was not that expensive. She used to compete in some of the bigger handicaps in France, and I like her. And we'll train her for a race called the Wire Stakes coming up at Aqueduct. She's going to be like a nice mile and a half staying filly.
Very nice. That was your only win, I think, right? At Kentucky Downs.
At Kentucky Downs, yeah, I think so. We had some nice second and third, which was the only win. We finished second at Nashville Derby, and we finished third in the mile and a half on the grass, obviously. And we also finished second with a vehicle, Don't Look Back at All, in the sprint for Phillies and Miles.
Well, Aniskal, I was going to ask you a little bit more about, because with Breeders' Cup, you're pressing forward?
No, Aniskal ran in the race in Woodbine, disappointingly going a mile, and I think we're going to bring her back shorter in one of the two stakes, either the Matron Stakes or the other stakes in November at Aqueduct.
Interesting.
We'll try to bring her back shorter to see what happens.
You just don't think she wants the distance right now?
No, correct. I think she will probably next year, but at the moment, let's keep her sprinting, and then we'll go from there.
Very good. Far Bridge, Sword Dancer winner.
Far Bridge is doing great. He had a very good race in Saratoga and the Sword Dancer. We entered him yesterday in a race called the Joe Hirsch to be run this coming Saturday. He drew the outside, which I don't like. He's a horse who seems to be running better when he's on the rail, so I don't like the outside. But I'll have to talk to the owner. The plan is to run him this coming Saturday. I saw that the gap of 9 weeks was a bit too long for me from the Sword Dancer to the Breeders' Cup. So the plan was to go for the Joe Hirsch. I just have to study the race a little bit and speak to Joel, and then we will have a plan.
All right. Let's run down the New Yorkers then, some of the New York breds, because Pandagate, of course, won the Albany, going to run in the Ashley Cole. That's coming up on Friday. And who else? City Man is back in, and you got Silver Skillet.
City Man will run on turf in the Ashley Cole. Pandagate will run in case it comes off the turf, which is main track only. And the filly Silver Skillet is a mile and eight, which might be the end of the world for her, but she's doing very well. She had a below-par performance last time. We still don't know why. She's training well, and she will also run, of course, if the race comes off the grass. She actually loves an off-track.
What about, it's an unbelievable list. Carson's Run we haven't asked about.
Doing great. So finished second in Nashville Derby. Is being trained also for that Jockey Club Derby at Aqueduct, which is either October 5th or October 6th, I forgot. But he's doing well. He had two works so far. We'll have one more work this coming weekend. He's a very, very genuine, very honest horse. And he tries hard. And I like both horses, Deterministic and Carson's Run, going into that race. And I'm very happy with them at the moment.
Very nice. Tell me about the 2-year-old Barry Schwartz's Burn Notice, the Tonalist Colt, going to debut.
A very big tonalist, very much, he wants to go long. I hope we've got him tight enough to go, when you go a mile first time out, it's pretty tough on them. But I do like him, he just might need a bit of time. He's not a 2-year-old, he'll be a 3-year-old in the making. It's time to start, and then we can just build up from that race.
Well, and you mentioned, as it happens, I'm going to include in this conversation, you realize, Chris, in all likelihood, you're going to have your best year in your career in earnings by the time we wrap the season up.
Well, yeah, it's not really something that I wake up in the morning and check, because I prefer to worry about trying to win some races. But, it's all great, and, it just shows that the horses have been running well. And when you win that kind of races, obviously it boosts the earning of the stable.
Well, except, you have been training for 30 years, and you've had a lot of big horses, and the fact that I think looks like 340,000 in more in earnings, and it's going to be your best your best year. It's well worth noting. It's impressive.
I never had that many horses for like 20 years, and I've got more horses now than I used to. We go up to 100 in the summer, we probably go down to 70 in the winter. But also it's the quality of the horses you get at the end of the day, and then your big, big, major credit to our owners who just support us with some of these better horses.
Yeah, and Chris, that's an interesting topic, and I'm just looking at your starts year to year. A lot of people get to your position in a career, and they kind of they trim back a little bit. The last few years, you've had the most starters. You know, you had a high of 633 in 22, 558 in 23, and you're probably tracking for 620 this year.
I don't know, but we'll run as much as I can. This is a time of the year where if I'm 50-50 about running or not running, I do run, because especially with the grass, you know, the grass will stop pretty soon in New York, so you need to run as much as you can. And, you know, with Miguel, you know, Miguel is probably more aggressive than I am on taking horses. that's probably the reason why, but it's all good. It's all good, and just my worry is about trying to win this coming Thursday, and we just go day by day.
Christophe Clément, everybody, and just a really outstanding late summer into the fall. 13 stake wins in less than 2 months with 12 different horses. And it feels like you're well positioned, you know, for the last third of the year, last quarter of the year, and heading toward Breeders' Cup. Christophe, well done.
Thank you so much. We'll keep trying.
As always, Christophe Clément, everybody, Clément Stable on your Twitter, and Christophe and really family, because daughter-in-law now as well, Acacia, and Miguel as mentioned, and everybody just humming along. It just was funny because I started to get ready for to do the segment with, and I this morning, and I started looking. And I'm like, oh, he won this, he won that. And I realized I got to add these up. They're just unbelievable. 13 stake wins in less than 2 months. And what? One, two, three, four, five. Looks like six of them graded out of the 13. Outstanding. Christophe Clément. And the point I was making, obviously, was, you know, I mean, not that Chris is long in the tooth by any means, but he's three of the last 4 years are the best of his career. Yeah, it's pretty impressive. that's my point, right? Let me see. He had a high. The most in earnings, $10,319,000. That was in 22. And this year, right now, he's at $9,980,000. So he's gonna have the best year of his career. And in terms of winners, what was his high? His high was 22, 124 wins that year with 633 starts. That was his career best. But what's notable is he's having the highest earnings per start number of his career, too. Above 20,000 per start. Amazing. Just under 21,000. $20,924. It was very impressive. And, you know, and Clément's win percentage has not changed essentially his entire, it's unbelievable, actually. His starting in 1998, 23%, 19, 19, 21, 22, 19, 20, 21, 21, 24%, 19%, 20, 21, 20, 23, 19, 19, 20, 19, 19, 18, 19, 20, 21, 20%, 17% last year, 20% this year. You want to talk about consistent output? That's unbelievable. It really is. Wow. You know, and of course he's been on the Hall of Fame ballot these last couple of years. Kristoff has won 2,517 races. Yeah. So that may sometimes, you know, you sometimes you don't look if you don't look at those kinds of things, you don't really realize there's certain. And by the way, speaking of milestones, congratulations to Forrest Boyce. If I had said to you, how many career wins do you think Forrest Boyce has? Well, she has 1,000 because she won her 1,000th on Saturday. So congratulations to Forrest. Right. And it just doesn't, I don't know, maybe that's a function of getting older, I guess. I don't know. That, you know, that you don't realize how long some people have been training or you know, how long they've been riding. But Forrest Boyce, because now I'm curious. Let's see how many, yeah, she's only been riding regularly since 2010. How about that? So, congratulations to Forrest. Well, now, actually, on Equibase, they've got her with way more wins. They've got her with 1,036. But they put up a thing at Laurel the other day that it was her 1,000th. I got to check with Callie. What else could these wins be? That's very strange. All right, we're going to look into that. I think we've got Anthony Stabile. Yes?
The one and only.
The one and only is right. How you doing? How you feeling?
With my hands. Everything's good.
That's good. Nice. Nice.
I'm in a good mood today, Steve.
I love, well, I'm sure. It's a big steak day at the lakes.
Yeah, we got $2 hot dogs all day, too, so. steaks and hot dogs. I'm a big steaks and hot dogs guy. I'm ready. I'm geared up. I blew out a good 35 yesterday morning. Mom made some bacon and eggs, and I had a nice little Italian meal last night. I'm ready to attack these $2 Zwiegels today, buddy.
I love it. Well, it's a nice card, and the one thing, of course, that went kind of sideways, which takes away a little bit. Frankie Dettori was going to come and ride in the stakes. And it's too bad because that would have been a real treat for the patrons.
Yeah, it would have been fun. You know, we've had some star power here, both Equine and Human. Willie Shoemaker was here in the 80s. Funnyside, of course, wrapped things up here on 4th of July in 2007. We celebrated him on 4th of July this year with a nice little day. Jack Knowlton and Jose Santos were here. And one of my favorite gigs ever was my New York Post days. I was his ghostwriter for the 3 weeks between the Preakness and the Belmont.
We I remember that.
The New York Post.
Yeah.
And I was his ghostwriter. Yeah, I got to later in the year, I covered the, I reviewed Seabiscuit as Funnyside as well. That was a great time. So we've had some star power here, and everybody was really looking forward to a flying dismount today. A Finger Lakes flying dismount. I was getting ready to try to really twist my tongue up with that one. But yeah, unfortunately, end of last week, I don't remember what day it was over at the Big A, the shoulder, the dislocated shoulder, and they had to pop it back in. And yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. Dylan Davis going to ride both Bostonian, that'll be fun later as well, and the Aspirant, and earlier in the card, in the Lady Finger, he's going to ride Mischief Lady. So Dylan actually rode Mischief Lady first time out, Freddie Barker, on the grass, and he'll take that mount. So he came in to pinch hit for Frankie. That's how good a summer he has. He's pinch hitting for Frankie Dettori now.
Well, exactly. And you mentioned that Mischief Lady. I know that Eddie Barker likes that filly a lot, and she
Get
ended
out
up.
Of here. Eddie likes one of his horses. Come on.
Well,
seriously.
Now he talked about. I saw him early in the meet, and he singled her out. He talked about, you know, he talked about the Honest Mischief filly that he had, and it's interesting. We just wrapped up with Kristoff Clément, and Mischief Lady comes out of that Aniskal maiden breaker.
Yeah, it'll be a curious race. The only race that really got affected a little by scratches today here for the stakes was the Leon Reed. Looms Boldly will not be making the trip. And the local, the Finger Lakes Flash, I like to call him, Jack and Bernie, scratched as well. So lost a little bit of the star power. Still got Rotney, who's a multiple stakes winner here today for the Leon Reed Memorial. But, yeah, I guess all eyes will be on the two-year-olds and hoping that the aspirant, which will be runner's race number 7, produces some participation in the New York Breeders' Futurity, 200,000, stretching out to 6 from the 5.5 today on October 21st coming up.
Well, let's take a look, actually, at the start with the Lady Finger, which is going to go as the third, 158 post. We mentioned Mischief Lady. There's another Honest Mischief as well. Chris Engelhardt's got Princess Mischief with Andre Worry. Paul Barrow has got the 2-1 favorite with Idle Gossip, the Central Banker Philly. Stone Smuggler, too. Georgia Bro, another Honest Mischief. A distant second in the debut, but probably, well, I guess with Idle Gossip, it feels like the two were kind of paired up well.
Yeah, I was talking to Todd Hyde, director of racing here, and we were talking about the morning line for the race. It was kind of 6 in one hand, half a dozen in the other. So Idle Gossip, speaking of, you know, being high, Paul Barrow, I'm pretty good with Paul, and Paul was high on this filly from the beginning, and I mean, you know, obviously really hard to anticipate what happened first time out with her, and she, you know, she's 5 in front, and she just forgot to make her left at the approaching the far turn. She just went straight. Thankfully and amazingly, nothing happens to her. If you've had a chance to see it, I mean, I can kind of laugh half-heartedly at it now. It looked horrible. And less than 4 weeks later, she's back breaking her maiden. Blinkers, you know, bore out, Steve. Misleading is the wrong word. I can see where one would think that, but I just think Jeremias rode her and almost to instructions, a little carefully, not tentatively, but carefully, and just kind of let her do a thing. That filly that come to her passage east, I know about the connections, they liked her as well, and they're looking forward to stretching her out. I don't know exactly when we stretch two-year-olds out up here, but I know at some point they'll run a race later on in the meet. We got 10 weeks left. We're officially two-thirds of the way through the meet, and we kick off the final third of the meet today. So there'll be some long two-year-old races. And they're looking forward to running her. So, you know, she ran against a filly that the connections are a little bit high on. And I thought she ran really well last time. She broke a minute, which is a good time for two-year-olds up here. And again, when you just take into account everything she dealt with in less than a month, the fact that she was not only to get back on the track but break alertly, first-time blinkers, and win is pretty remarkable. So I'm always going to take the winner against a handful of maidens and a couple of slow maiden breakers.
No, fair enough. And the early part of the card, pick 6, starts with that third. The next stake is the second of the 2-year-olds and the aspirant group. And you mentioned Bostonian.
Bostonian, yeah.
Bostonian for Wesley, 5-2.
Yeah.
Right,
my man Pat Conlon from Quincy told me it's Bostonian, so that's what I'm going to go with. Scratch Brink from the rail, so it leaves us with a field of 8. Bostonian has 3 first-time starters to his right in the starting gate, a couple of last-out maiden winners to his left. You know, I wonder how they're going to bet this race. Soon to be King was supplemented for over $15,000, and he just missed to Moplex, who would be 1-5 in here.
Sure.
Off his funny side win, and obviously a Sanford victory. So I would imagine Soon to Be King is going to be close to even money. Though Wesley moves the needle, especially on the tote board. So we'll see how he handles it. I'll tell you what, it looks like I'm look at this. I'm here 5 months, and I'm being a homer. I was ready to pick against Looms Boldly today and everything. Paul's colt in here. Paul told me he liked the colt and the filly. And the colt paid $8 first time out, $8.20. And straight as a string, a minute on the button, a son of blame out of Steven got even, was able to just go from the two hole and not as strong as path. Look, you would imagine Bostonian's going to come out of there running. The Colt on the out, the gelding on the outside, cast a coin, showed some speed in his debut at 10-1, and raced really well. King's Leap, who had all of the experience advantage, got him in the last, I don't know, 16th of less than 50 yards, 60 yards. So there's some speed in here, but I'll tell you, Steve, I like Mr. Sugar Daddy right back. Paul has great numbers with two-year-olds. If you're using a DRF, there's free PPs every
40%
day at Finger Lakes Gaming. I'm sorry?
40%, 39%.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's free PPs at FingerLakesGaming.com. DRF members have free Finger Lakes PPs today as well. Just go to DRF if you're a member. So you can see this stat. I look at this, and you know, Andy, my former Talking Horses partner, used to give me hell for the not having these stats. But, you know, two-year-olds, Paul doesn't really ship a lot of two-year-olds to Saratoga. He doesn't really run a lot of them down at Aqueduct late in the year. So this two-year-old number is here. This number's here. And it's a for the guy who was the leading trainer last year and second in the standings now, that's a huge ROI. So, you know, it's horses like Mr. Sugar Daddy that upset these apple carts. Listen, Wesley's horse can win. He hasn't been seen since June. Soon to be King can win. I'll tell you what, it's wet fast right now. The rain is supposed to be out of here by 1 o'clock. So we had some rain driving up today, had some rain overnight into the morning. The track is labeled wet fast right now. There's probably a little bit more moisture on it than wet fast, if I'm being honest. But it's sealed, and the bulk of the rain seems to be gone. Soon to be King debuted in the mud and made up a lot of ground, but, you know, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't mind being by blame on this racetrack today inside. And, you know, when it gets wet here, the speed usually holds. So if you're handicapping this place for the first time or playing that pick six, we got like a little under $2,000 carryover, but we'll have a good, there'll be a good number in there today with the three stakes especially. Mr. Sugar Daddy's a little bit of a separator when you look at Wesley Ward and you look at George Weaver shipping in. You know, Paul and Mr. Sugar Daddy trying to protect the home turf, and I think he can. I loved his debut as well.
Well, I'm not going to move on to the read before, without asking about King's Leap, who broke the maiden last time, and, you know, from a fig standpoint, is absolutely competitive, doesn't need the lead. He could let the speed, you know, Perez could let the speed go and could stalk and pounce.
Yeah, and he's had a pretty interesting card, right? There was a little push on him when Ferraro Jr., our leading trainer, took him down to Saratoga for his debut. And he ran well. He had a wide trip off the turn that day, and he only got beat five lengths to, you know, to the, and it wasn't a state bred race. It was a restricted race. I thought he ran really well. He came back in a state bred race. Smile and Say Cheese was bred up and down for a wet track. The maker horse that broke from the two hole went to the lead and just, it was all over.
Right.
He did not break that well that day. Mike put a pair of blinkers on him. They sent him a mile off the turf just 18 days later. You know, and he kept shipping. He shipped there the first time, and then he stayed. So, you know, Mike was going back and forth with him. And I thought he ran well enough in the mile, and then he got the job done here last time. The problem with last time was he beat a first-time starter going 5.5, and the horse that run third, who scratched out of here, is now 0-5. He didn't beat much, but if Bostonian and Mr. Sugar Daddy and Cast a Coin all find themselves scrambling on the front end, yeah, Soon to Be King's going to be running. But listen, you're going to get the leading trainer here at Finger Lakes right now at 7, 8, 9 to 1.
Very nice. I thought he was worth considering as an alternative and with a number. You mentioned that Looms Boldly and Jack and Bernie 9-5 and 2-1 come out of the read. This goes as the eighth, and that I would love to say that it opens things up, but does it? If Rotney
no.
comes back to his good race, I mean, how do they beat him?
He's got a break. I don't like that. Now, look, they flew in the true north, obviously. I was a little surprised he was not more aggressive that day. because that was a speed bias track, right? Baby Yoda, a lot of horses won on the lead that weekend, Belmont Stakes weekend. And, you know, I know he had a good race and he affirmed success, but, you know, he beat a horse in Sheriff Bianco, who's danced a lot of dances. Donegal Surges probably wants a little bit more ground. He got the job done going a mile this week. I think what helps him today is his wet track. He likes a wet track. And not that he can't win on a dry track, but with those two scratches, Lady's Golden Guy, who's breaking from the rail, has some speed. Jeremiah's Flores, who's an aggressive rider, will have to be on his belly scrubbing before they load to get in front of Rodney if Rodney breaks. But Rodney has to break. He has a win here. So he's, you know, he's gotten over the course already, and he got over the course really well. He got a 95 speed figure. I think he won the Ontario County. That's a race Mike Maker has no problem coming up here to Pac-Man. He won it with Mischief Joke earlier this year. So, yeah, I mean, he's supposed to just go. It's funny because I'm a little upset. I wanted to bet on and pick Pompous Prince today. I really wanted to take a little swing with him today. Getting a good setup and a lot of speed and a big price with the leading trainer and rider here. But now, not only does his price go down, but his chances as well, just because there's not as much gas in here early on now. So I'll still use him protectively, pick four, pick five, if I play a pick six, because I don't, you know, I liked him 12 hours ago. I don't want to let him beat me at 6-1 when I liked him at 12-1 against two tougher horses 12 hours ago. So I picked the race 284. Throw the lure of money and a little chance as well. He was our horse of the year up here at Finger Lakes last year.
Well, it's a nice card. It's one of the good fall days with the Ladyfinger and the Aspirant, plus the Reed, and it's Monday, and so tune in and take part at the Flakes today.
First post, 1 o'clock. We got a special 9 race car today and tomorrow. And like I said, if you're in the Finger Lakes region, if you're in Farmington, $2 Wagles, $1.50 sodas, free PPs, free DRF PPs. There's Wagles like an 8.3 on the hot dog scale. I'm no Portnoy, but I mean, I'm probably 4.5% hot dogs at this point in my life. I'm 47. I've eaten my share of hot dogs. I'll go 8.3 on the Zwagle. It's pretty good. I got to be honest. A little ketchup, a little mustard. Yeah, you can.
They're very good. But what about the what's your opinion of the White Hots?
Well, I haven't had this. They kind of kept me in the dark up here with some of this food stuff. They've given me one garbage plate.
Good
job. The
garbage
plate was really good. Yeah, the garbage plate was like Game of Thrones to me. The zombies, the wizardry, people walking into animals. I mean, the only thing that I was really on board with in general before watching Game of Thrones was the nudity. I have no problem with women going topless. But,
it's ridiculous.
All of it together was the greatest television show of all time. That's kind of the garbage plate. I'm not ordinarily putting meat sauce on top of macaroni salad with mayonnaise. They figured it out here in Rochester. I don't know. It was pretty good. But they've kept me. I can tell you one thing. This is no offense to anybody who makes pizza up here. You got to just find something else to do, man. I don't know what it is, but the pizza is. Portnoy would be 80 pounds up here if he was here. It would be all over.
I can maybe help you on that because our son Zach, they're right in Honey Oak Falls. Zach's got a couple of places that they're pretty good. The problem for you has got to be that it's a little doughy. The pies are
100%.
On the puffy side.
Yeah, it's a little doughy. Like I need to lose a little weight. Yeah, there's nothing little about the dough up here, man. They come at you with the dough. They're bringing a lot of dough. I got to tell you.
Well, the white hot is, you know, Zweigel's makes a white hot, which is a beef, veal, and pork white skinless frank. Quite good. It's like a brat. It's basically a. It's think of it as a bratwurst.
like the Goodfellas scene. The veal, the beef, and the pork. Oh, but you got to have the pork. That's the flavor.
That's
when he's making the sauce for the Goodfellas scene.
That's a very good system.
I'm trying to find a white eye.
You know, that little guard is getting to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I took care of him. Don't worry about it. Listen, there are days up here I'd give $500 for a thing of prosciutto and salami. Believe me. Believe me. You're not finding it, buddy. It's not happening up here. Thank God for Phyllis. She cooks my meals up here. I go to one place with Paul and Ralphie D and Chris Progno and the guys. My man Q has Joe Gatz over in Penfield, and the place is really good. I enjoy it. We have a little dinner, a couple of drinks, a smoke out, a cigar outside afterwards. You hope that Ralphie D didn't smoke everything in the winner's circle that day, and he doesn't give you the stale stuff from the bottom of the humidor. He's been known to treat nickels like manhole covers, Ralphie D. So, got some people, got some friends up here and stuff. We got a little schedule up here and stuff. Mostly in the hotel watching Mets games. And a little wrestling, but it's been a fun journey so far up here.
Well, you've done great. You've done just great, Anthony. Thank you.
You got it, Steve. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you soon. Like I said, New York Reader's Futurity is on the 21st of October. We got three stakes that day as well. I think we're wrapping up a couple of series. I get to call a 1¾-mile race. It won't be the Birdstone, and next won't be here, but it'll be fun to see if I can get through 14 furlongs.
Exactly. Well, here he is, Weigel's powered, and Anthony Stabile, everybody. Big A, thank you, buddy.
You got it, guys.
I love it. A lot of fun. He's done very well. He had that little health crisis there mid-season, but got over it and back at it, and it's a good day today. We've got Kerry Bryan is going to join us in a little bit, and we're also seeing if D. Wayne is ready for us as well. Want to follow up with Wayne on Seize the Grays, Pennsylvania Derby win, and Jaime Torres deserves just a ton of credit. You could see, right? You could see how excited he was, too. I mean, that, listen, you win a $1 million race? Sure. Of course you're going to be excited. While we await the next guest, what do we got? We're at the bottom of the hour, so we're in good shape. Quick look at the Churchill action. And I mentioned earlier with Kenny, Elephant's Ear, who was third at 8-1 and change, and batten down the Judmont, the Close Hatches colt by Tappet, and wire to wire, and really never in doubt in that Bourbon's Flight. Hades ran well, who's had just the trickiest of seasons and kind of odd. He's actually, not really righted the ship a little bit after, the spring, the Holy Bull win, and then things went very wrong, got a little freshening, and has run all right, actually. The Pegasus at Monmouth, it was third, and then second to Domestic Product in Dwyer, and third to in the Petromallow Mile at Colonial, and now second in this thing, by batten down. So they're picking some good spots. The New York bred Audible Filly that has been, speaking of having nice seasons, she went to Churchill for the Dogwood, excuse me, and made the most of that. I like her a lot. She got bet. She was 3-2, and she won off by 5. I mean, it really wasn't much. This was really, I thought she was kind of a slam dunk. 504 on the mutual front. Fibber, the Hartman, that was claimed for $100,000, has now won three straight, or was second here, but had won two straight and was going for a third straight in this spot. And ran okay. but was not going to get to the winner. The winner blew past and ran off. But that, you know, those high price claims, they almost always seem to pan out. And maybe it's just, maybe it's, you know, because of Maker and what a good job he does with those, but they seem to work, right? When, you know, when you put down 75,000, 62,500, 80,000, this was 100,000. It seems like it's money, you know, you're basically buying a ready-made horse, essentially. But my main squeeze, this is now her, what is this? Her fourth win in eight starts this year. Really nice. William Butler's homebred, Windstar's partnered in. Then Henro, and Henro was the value in the sequence. We hit the pick five and the pick four here at Churchill on Saturday, and Henro was the key. He was the value. And this is a horse that's, you know, it's funny. You know how sometimes you bet horses right and sometimes you don't. This is a horse I've had good luck with. Remember we liked in the Iowa Derby and got 5-1, got 6-1 here, paid $13.94, and was key to the pick five and the pick four. Pick five paid 220. Actually, the pick four paid surprisingly well. All right. Well, I think we got Wayne. Yep, I think Wayne's ready for us. As I'm tap dancing, Wayne Lucas joins us again with another huge win. Seize the Gray. Wayne, congratulations to you and Jaime and my racehorse.
Well, it was a fun day. That many people running out on the racetracks. There were hundreds of them. They were hugging, jumping up and down, and it was something else.
Well, you've got such a great record with this kind of a situation, thinking back to Warriors Club and what you did for those people, the Churchill Downs Racing Club.
Yeah, that's it. Both these clubs that I've been involved with, and there was another one too with the Head Party Club, that they all did really well. We've done really well, but nothing as much as my racehorse and Seize the Gray.
You know, we talked to, obviously, everybody handicapped up into this race, Wayne, and it did seem like he was circling back to a good effort. But the question was, what was going to happen pace-wise? And Jaime did it again.
Well, you know, the thing about it, it was really surprising. After we had to take the win picture out on the racetrack, they couldn't get him in the winner's circle. The people were just too many. And I was out there standing around, you know, with the horse and trying to get people lined up and everything. And it was so deep. I was just appalled at how deep the track was. They were going in 6-7 inches. I stood there and looked at that, and I thought, my gosh, I had no idea that they were that, you know, deep. They were really pounding into it.
Well, then what that says is that you had this horse as fit as can be the way he traveled.
Yeah, that really surprised me, you know, to be on the pace of that deep track too. But I would have been really worried if I'd have seen the track and known that they were, popping into it that way earlier.
Well, you talk about him, you know, and how the season, you know, your view of you know, where he's come from this year. I mean, the Preakness, obviously backing up the Preakness win with this. I mean, there's only a couple of multiple grade one winners that are even out there this year.
Well, you know, he tipped his hand in the Pat Day, but the Saratoga, the Jim Dandy, he wasn't right. He really, really, I thought he was getting just a little bit colicky. And I was worried about it, but I thought, well, I'm overreacting maybe. But in hindsight, I probably should have scratched him there. He just wasn't right there.
Interesting. And so you basically gave him the time off to bypass the Travers, and it pays off with this performance.
Yeah, well, that's what we get paid to do, to kind of manage them. I get criticized for the way we manage them, but it's working out most of the time.
Well, that opens the door for one of those lines, these days there's a lot of stable managers Tom Kelly, TJ Kelly said one time years ago, he said, you know, years back when I came, when I was training, they had stable managers too. They were called trainers.
Yeah. I always tell people I made a living running where I don't belong.
Well, there's a lot to be said for that. I mean, trying a horse if he's fit, and you know, rather than trying to wait. I mean, you've I don't want to say you've extended your career, but in no small fashion, you've won races that a lot of people wouldn't have tried.
Well, that's been the case pretty much throughout it, and the problem is when you get planning too far ahead, the horse doesn't cooperate a lot.
Exactly. Exactly. And and Baffert has that same policy. Watch the horse. If they're right, okay, we're going. Not trying to force the issue. If the horse is right. And then, you also ended up with some clients like Calumet that like to run.
Yeah, Calumet, we got five for them right now. And one of the reasons I think we got them is they like to run. They know we're going to run them.
Well, you want a Preakness for them with Oxbow, and here with my racehorse, making tons and tons of people happy. Wayne, I saw what you told Dave yesterday. You were driving back to Louisville. You're going to assess the Classic and the Mile and make a decision closer to Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, we'd probably try to put him in the best spot we can to be effective, but I want to look at it a little bit and see who's going where. I'm not familiar with some of the Classic horses, especially the two horses from Japan. And, so we'll look it over and go on one or the other probably.
Very good. Let me ask you about a couple of things that are coming up, too. You got some maidens this week at Churchill. Looking at Thursday, My Cherry Pie.
She's struggling to get there. Belongs to Aaron Stolens, who's been a tremendous client of mine and a good friend, and I'm trying to get something done with her, but she's been struggling. She's had a lot of chances. I hope this is the one.
How about on Friday, you've got Going Steady and American Promise?
I like both of those horses. They're doing really well. They're nice horses, both of them. American Promise, I think, has the American Promise. I think he's got that. He's named properly. He's really a classy, justified colt. I look for him to run real well, and my wife and I own the other one, so
nice.
We're hoping.
Well, and American Promise, a justify out of the Tappet mare, and then one more, actually. Excuse me. You've got, this has got to be, on Saturday? And I'm just looking through the PPs because I just had it. Where did it go? Code of Justice in the 7th on Saturday.
Yeah, he's an intermischief colt that we think might have a lot of promise. I think he's going to be a sprinter, though. I think he's going to be limited to maybe a mile or less. But we're still trying to develop those. We bought the yearlings we bought on that class, we bought with the idea that they would be good, solid two-turn horses and maybe even Derby, classic horses. So the short races haven't benefited them very much, but they should start coming around now.
Nice. Well, 2-year-olds, next year's potential stars, and meanwhile, things continue to continue to amaze. And whether it was closing weekend, Wayne, at Saratoga on your birthday, that win delighted people, and here's Seize the Gray, who absolutely forces himself, back into the 3-year-old championship picture.
Yeah, I think that's going to get down to whoever does well in the Breeders' Cup.
100%. 100%. And you've got as good a chance as anybody. And in fact, if you were to go to the mile and, you know, whoever Fierceness and you and Dornick, it would seem, right?
I have tried to stay out of that all these years, and so we'll just do the best job we can and see how they like us.
Well, a tremendous job with Seize the Gray as the Arrogate Sun adds another grade one, the Pennsylvania Derby. Wayne, thanks so much. We'll look forward to whatever decision you make.
All the best. Have a good show.
Thanks a lot. Wayne Lucas, everybody. And I tell you, there's no keeping him down. It's amazing. Amazing. All right, let me finish this up. Kerry Bryant is going to close out the morning with us. And I guess I got to get you the number, right? Back to Henro. What is going on here? Why can't I? Let me try this one more time. There it goes. All right, there you go. Henro, 1394. Then Miss Justify, and you know we did that Seneca race as a the Thoroughgraph segment, and it didn't fall apart per se, but we did have a handful of scratches, so it ended up as an 8-horse field, and Miss Justify was too good at a little under 3-2. And the Justify Philly, Twin Oaks, and a bunch of partners, IEE Racing and Will Campbell and Joe Bulger. And Louis Sy is aboard. Yeah, the prices, we tried all those prices. Nobody ran particularly well. The Home Game and Neon Icon, neither one. Life Talk was a good second, actually, at 8-1 for Pletcher, 1-2. Chitalis was third and was moving well. It looked like Chitalis, about halfway through, it looked like she was moving comfortably and then, kind of backed up a little bit. And the maiden nightcap, Undercover, Rudy Brissett, and was fairly obvious when is the favorite, and we did okay. That was all right. $150 pick four and the $220 pick five, because everything went kind of sideways at Parks with the Turf Monster coming off the turf. I think I've got a Turf Monster on the phone. That's a yes. That giggle is that of Kerry Bryant. I'm still waiting for my jacket, by the way.
It's coming.
It is. Okay.
Yes. Right, well, Far Hills. Are you going to Far Hills?
I'll be at Far Hills and we'll broadcast. Okay. And actually, it'll be an interesting contest because Guy owes me a Far Hills vest. So
perfect.
One or the other.
Well, I'll beat him to it. Don't worry.
By all rights, I should have Brian call Patrick, because that was a win on Thursday. Yeah. Freddie Flintshire wins the Lonesome Glory, and I think you now have an excuse to keep Patrick from coming to any races.
Yeah, thank God, right? he missed his flight, and he finished his first and third in the grade one, so I don't think he can come. None of the boys that are involved in the horse, nobody was there, so yeah, I think that's the way it has to be moving forward.
Well, because I texted him congratulations, and he said it must be me, because when he comes, they don't win. Right?
It's true. I think it is him.
Well, and it's so funny because everybody thinks this. Same way. I mean, Tina, you know, when I'm going down Friday, we're running Friday at Aqueduct, and Tina said, they don't win when you go. Well, lately they haven't won when I don't go, but it right? But it is one of those funny things. You think to yourself, well, they'll do better if I'm not there.
I have owners that swear by it, that like literally don't go because they think they run better when they're not there. Maybe they do.
It's so funny.
I don't know.
It's so funny. Well, in the meantime, you mentioned that Patrick was first and third, and Richard Hendricks, Ricky trains the third place finisher, Hidden Path, but that's an up-and-coming four-year-old. And then I realized Freddie's only six.
Yeah, Freddie's a baby himself. Yeah. No, Patrick's set with these two. Hidden Path looks to be very nice. And, you know, funny enough, he really ran to kind of make the race go for Freddie. And which, you know, thank God for Ricky doing that and being okay with doing that. But, it worked out. The horse ran a huge race. Be third, and obviously Freddie finally got his day, so it was a very good day for Patrick, that's for sure.
This was his first horse of any kind, and of course he's gotten involved on the flat as well extensively in partnership with Bo Bromigen, and he's had lots of success.
Yeah.
But I think he takes a lot of pleasure in this, and this is a horse that now has won what, three times, four times over
four times, I believe. This is his fourth. He's a maiden on the flat, which is incredible, right? Paul Madden, Brendan Walsh's assistant, actually called me about this horse. He was a three-year-old, and Qatar Racing, Sheikh Fahad, owned the horse, and he just wasn't quite getting it done at the maiden level, you know, at Keeneland and Kentucky Downs and those spots, and we're going to send him through the sale. And, you know, Paul was like, I think this horse would make a jumper, and I love Flintshires. And he was not very expensive, and they said they'd take, you know, whatever for him. If we just took him, wouldn't run him through the sale. And I called Patrick and was like, this is the one that we've been kind of looking. I said, I think this is it. And I give him credit, and he didn't really ask any questions. He said, okay. And he's the coolest horse. He's a barn favorite. He has a great attitude. Most of the Flintshires do. He's been a barn favorite since day one, and he got jumping real quick and ran as a three-year-old. He was third. Excuse me. He was third as a three-year-old in his first start ever, and came back out in the spring. And you know, he just kept evolving as a jumper, getting better and better. And you see, there's some breaks in his form. He's had little issues here and there, but Patrick was always very patient with him and really never made me, you know, he let me to it with him, and you know, I always told him he'd be his grade one winner, so it was pretty cool for it all to work out that way.
Well, and Steve Mulqueen, who we should cite for the ride, he rode him like he knew he could move at any time.
Yep, he was, you know, Steven makes me nervous sometimes because always like, does he have horse? Does he not have horse? Because he sits so quiet and so chilly on these horses, and he just puts them to sleep, which is so important with these steeplechase horses, because obviously after they run 2 miles and they have to be called upon, you know, the last quarter of a mile, it's so great when they really haven't used that much energy, and he does that. It was the same with Jimmy P. You know, I always, the whole way around, I was like, how much horse do we have here? And like, obviously a lot. But Steven's very good at putting a horse in the right spot and, you know, producing them when it counts. And he, I'm very lucky to have him as my stable jockey. He's here on a 5-year visa. This is hopefully the first of a long, very successful partnership together, him and I.
Well, that's tremendous. And of course, he's ridden him, you know, most of the season in the Peg of Steinman and in the Smithwick.
Yep.
And you know, and we should say he's not a jump horse that is that much better on the flat. He's been very good over hill and dale.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he cares. It's sometimes a little hard to tell because obviously his wins early on came against lesser horses, breaking his maiden, you know, going through the ranks like that. So obviously his biggest runs have been at the flat track and the grade one. So It'll be interesting to see what happens when we go back to the hunt meets. I still am not convinced he's almost a 3 mile Far Hills horse. I think we'll probably skip there and plan to go to the Colonial Cup the end of the season in November, the newest grade one that was added back. I think that'll be the plan with him. He runs best fresh anyway, and to be fair, Far Hills is pretty quick back for a big effort like that. So we'll probably wait till November with him if all is good out of there. But yeah, look, it's been a campaign building up. I didn't really have him 100% fit at the Steinman, and then amazingly the plan worked out to set the two of them up, him and Jimmy P, and you know, both horses got a grade one win this summer, which, you know, normally when you plan for things like that, it never works out. So it was pretty cool to have that work out for the barn too.
Well, and you know, in terms of I think in terms of the grade ones, we're back to that same scenario again.
Crazy.
This
I think
year.
There's been five or six different grade one winners.
Exactly.
Exactly. Plan, Snap Decision, Bill Pops, Jimmy P, Freddie Flincher, yeah. And
so
L'Imperator, yeah.
L'Imperator, right, won the Steinman.
Won the Steinman, yeah. So, it's six different. So, I mean, I think the fall, you know, is going to be big. Obviously, Far Hills bears a lot of weight, I feel like. That's obviously what we're going after with Jimmy P. Just have to see.
No, it's going to be interesting. I'm looking at the PPs at the other.
You know, it's easy to forget about Snap Decision over the summer because obviously he's 10 and he couldn't run at Naira.
Right.
But his spring was fabulous. He trounced them at Middleburg in the grade two and went to Nashville and repeated in the Iroquois grade one. So, you know, he's a great horse. I still believe he should have won the Eclipse Award last year. And it'll depend what he comes out and does this fall. Obviously, that's probably the horse that, you know, would be thinking would probably be favorite for it if he comes out and does what he can do this fall. But, you know, we're just starting to see the best of Jimmy P and Freddie Flintshire. You know, Freddie's, like you said, both of mine, I think both of them are six. So those are two young, up-and-coming horses that we have here. So, you know, not if one wins one grade one and one wins the other. I don't know what will happen in the voting. But,
yeah,
you
exactly.
know, that would be a great problem to have.
Well, in the meantime, Patrick's first grade one, and he's got arguably in Hidden Path a horse as well that you know, obviously gets the black type out of this, but lots of upside.
He's a non-winner of two. He's only ever broken his maiden. It's pretty incredible. He's very fast. He has a very fast turn of foot. I think he'll be a very nice horse for the future for sure.
Yeah, he looped. He looped a winner.
And he has his three-year-old that's with me, Blue Creek, who takes place on the flat. He's actually going to be making his steeplechase debut this weekend next weekend, sorry, at Shawan Downs. So, Patrick's still heavy in the jump game as well as the flat.
I love it. And what about your other? You had Going Country in here too Thursday.
Yeah, you know, he had a long campaign all summer. He's done his job, probably just a bit much to ask. He got a little greedy maybe, but he runs really well at the flat track, and he's been training really well. So, you know, probably just a little leg weary and tired at the end of it. But he'll probably, all going well, come back at Far Hills. He's actually still a novice, so he can run in the novice stake, and he can skip down a level and get away from the grade one horses and hopefully have his day.
Well, speaking of grade ones, Decky Carroll says that you need to win a grade one on the flat.
yeah, I hear this often. yeah, he doesn't count. He doesn't count grade one winners over jumps. I've won six grade ones over jumps, but that doesn't count in his book. So here I am.
I love when we get the peanut gallery comments, but I always pass them on because it's always
fun. Can't help himself.
No. you do have a steak try coming up though at Laurel next or this Saturday. Speaking of flinchers, Lord Flincher, yeah. Right in the Japan Turf Cup.
Yeah, we're taking a shot, obviously, but you know, he just won the starter 50 going a mile and 3/8 in Saratoga nicely for me, and he's just a horse at a mile or a mile and a 1/16. You don't really see his best until you start going a bit farther with him. So, 1.5 at Laurel. I mean, look, there's some nice horses in there, but it's a nice horse. I think he would have run through his conditions by now if we could find a mile and 3/8, a mile and a half races more often, but. You know, he didn't, everyone's like, oh, he doesn't like to win. I mean, I honestly don't think it's that. I just think there's always a faster horse than him at a mile and a 1/16, you know. When we went a mile and 3/8, he proved, you know, plenty of the best in New York. So we're going to take a shot. I mean, the alternative was a New York bred allowance going a mile and a 1/16, and I just don't, he's tried that plenty, and I just don't think that really does much for him. We'll go jumping probably next year now, but we'll give this a shot. And if it goes decent, I have the 2-mile race, the John Forbes at our hills,
yes.
Kind of in my mind for him. So that's sort of the plan.
Nice. We talked last week, actually, in advance of the Lonesome Glory. We talked about the fall schedule with Bill Gallo, and Bill's out there recruiting people for the Forbes, because it's a good opportunity.
Hopefully we get some. Yeah, exactly. I think Joe Sharp's actually going to ride his own, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. And, you know, Bill's been working really hard to try to get some flat interest, you know, from New York to come down. And I know some people kind of are scared of the weight. They just see that weight and they're like, oh, that's too much. I think it's in the 140s, but these horses don't care. It's what they carry in the mornings when they're galloping around, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
but it's interesting. And, you know, the other thing I don't think people really think of, but if you have a horse that, you know, wants to go all day, decent horse on the flat, but you're kind of stuck for options because they go all day, have a good showing in this, and you probably sell them to Jump Connections for more than they're worth on the flat. You know what I mean?
So, sure.
It's definitely a great opportunity. I think it's starting to pick up some steam. Hopefully it continues to do so. So I won it with Agitaire 1 year. I'll probably take, like I said, if Lord Flincher does this well, he'll go back along with a horse that we've just bought named the Addison Poor, actually off of Brittany. so probably taking those two. But I'm sure it'll turn up to be a salty enough race. It's a good purse.
Yeah, absolutely. Meantime, what about later today in the fourth race at Presque Isle? You've got the second time starter. Looks okay. The flatter filly, hold on.
Yeah, she's literally about 14 hands, if that. She's tiny. But she ran great on debut, kind of spotted the field. 5.5 was too short. Delaware's dirt is extremely deep. She's small. She still got through it, came running. I like her today, a mile on the Tapita. I think that'll suit her. Yes, Jonathan Thomas has one coming from Kentucky Downs. A couple in there, actually, that ran at Kentucky Downs, but, you know, didn't run really all that good. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, no, I like her today.
Very nice. That comes in the fourth at Presque Isle. And then what about Thursday with Rivage in the fifth at Delaware?
Yeah, another nice two-year-old. You know, we're kind of at the stage now. We have some of these turf types, and we're getting to be the end of turf season here, and you're trying to figure out if they're good enough to go to Florida. So just trying to get runs into all of these, you know, the best as we can. We need rain, but hoping it doesn't rain too much.
Yeah. Well, this is a Maximus Mischief colt that Steinmetz, also Steinmetz, owned.
Yeah, he was victim to just a kind of a bad OBS sale, right? And they liked him, and they weren't going to get what they needed for him to make it worthwhile. So I get to train him. So
nice.
Not complaining, but that's what happened. Yeah.
Well, doing great, and the Lonesome Glory, your second. The Mean Queen won your first one, and now Freddie Flincher, two barn favorites, and Carrie Bryan. Yeah. Thanks for making Patrick happy.
It's a hard job, but, you know, we keep trying. No, he's a great owner. I'm very happy for him. He's gone all in the sport and all aspects, and it's really nice to see him get repaid.
100%. Well done. Carrie Bryan, everybody. Carrie, we'll see you soon.
Yep. Thanks, Steve. I'll see you soon.
You got it. Carrie Bryan, folks. And Thursday's Lonesome Glory. There's a busy Monday in the books. We're going to send you out into the race day, and that includes the action at, obviously, at Finger Lakes, the conversation with Anthony. But thanks to Carrie Bryan and Dee Wayne. It's great to get Dee Wayne in today and talk about Seize the Grays win, Christophe Clement earlier, of course, as well, and Kenny McPeak and Mig, Jack Sisterson, in addition. Good luck if you're playing today. Back with you tomorrow, the big Tuesday get-together. Plenty more recapping. Got tons more we didn't even get to yet. That includes some of the speed stuff that Princess Rooney, that Soul of an Angel, going to win. We got more to talk about. Talk to you in the morning. Thanks, everybody.